Never get going. Hey everyone, module 10. I can't hardly believe it. You should be so freaking proud of yourselves. Like, I really hope you're taking in that you're coming to like a new phase in this work. So it's awesome. And I really love this module. We're going to have some fun with this. So I think this will be quite a nice way to kind of close our curriculum time. All right, I'm just going to share my screen so we can crack on. So coaching with clients' goals and dreams. Well, we're going to talk about, we'll do a check-in as usual. We'll talk about the aims of this module. We'll talk about goals, plans, and actions, courage-based goals, plans, and actions. And next week, we'll talk about the kind of behavioral change cycle and what that sort of feels like and looks like, and kind of bringing the program together into a meaningful kind of conclusion, if you like, if that's possible. And we'll set you up with some homework for practice pods. And I also just wanted to talk a little bit before we get going about our closing. So we've got, I'll just stop the share. We've got 2 weeks of module 10. And then there'll be a class on certification and the graduate support program. So you'll have Scott leading you for that, because I'm actually going to be on holiday and hardly believe it. First one in a really long time. And then we'll come back and do a kind of closing circle. You'll need to prepare for that closing circle. So I'll be sending out some just reflection points that everyone will get to speak at that circle. So it will be something that you'll want to think about beforehand. So we'll send that out to you probably this week. And I'll also be asking you for feedback as well to help make this program better, to improve it, to find out how it was for you, where you're at, all of that jazz. I'll ask you for testimonials if you would want to provide that, which may be used kind of in the usual ways. But yeah, it's all totally just up to you how you want to respond. But just wanted to give you that heads up that that will be happening over the next week or two. So let's do a little check-in from practice pods. Anything coming up for folks around the compass, around working with those tools? Where you're at with things, stuff that's coming up for clients. We're open for questions, comments, shares, dilemmas, whatever's going on. All right. Yeah. Can always come back to that if at any point, you know. All right. Let's crack on then with module 10. And the aims of this module is really to get into our very linear binary world that we live in. Actually, that's a bit of an illusion. There is no right linear process to achieving goals, right? And so I think that this can be something that's important, I think, for us to get our heads around, because our clients will often struggle with this as well, right? So what I have found is that when I've been coaching with folks who have a lot of self-doubt, achieving goals is often the thing that they desperately want and equally feel like they are getting in their own way of doing. So there is this kind of just real desire to do something that matters to them in their professional and personal life. And equally, this urge of the protector that says it's too risky. And so, what would happen is I would say, right, well, let's put a plan together. Because I don't know if you know this about me, but before I retrained as a coach, I was a management consultant. And I used to freaking bathe in Gantt charts, right? So, big, complex, risky projects, I was like down with it. I could calculate earned value, which, if you know anything about projects, it's really freaking complicated. But anyway, so I was like, well, all of the coaching training that I had was, Well, you help your client to tap into why that matters to them. You set the goal and you plan for it, and then they just do it. And every single client that I worked with, depending on the veracity of their self-doubt, would fail at achieving their goals. For most of our clients, achieving their goals is the whole point of coaching, right? So I was like, we need to improve this process. Like this isn't actually working, and it's not working for enough clients for me to know that the process isn't working. So we have to come up with a better way of doing this that is actually going to support our clients, right? So the whole way of doing this for me is to let go of all the rules, because whenever I'm creating a new coaching kind of concept or a tool or approach, I always go, what are the established rules of the way we should do it, right? And I write those all down, and then I look at what is not working. So I never assume that that authority is correct. I'm like, okay, is this? So the first thing you start to see with a plan is that it has to be done in a certain order, and it's always time-based. So with courage-based planning, that goes out the window. I don't give a shit how long it takes. Why do we care? I mean, why do we really care how long it takes? It takes as long as it takes, right? But we have in our minds these ridiculous rules and expectations of things like overnight success, right? Which is ridiculous and untrue. We have this idea that everyone else is just following a plan and they're so organized. Every single time I've gone to create something, it's been a bit of a hot mess. But coming back to, well, how much courage do I have today? Has always been a way to keep going and to keep the momentum up, right? So that's the basis on what we like. I think the basis on which we are approaching all of this work. How much courage are you feeling right now, dear client? Right? That's what we'll go with, right? So this is a fundamental. There's no ideal, right, or linear process to achieving goals. For some clients, that can be a bit of a mind-blown kind of thing. Like, but there is a right way, because I'm watching these people achieve things that I want to achieve. So I think for us to get our heads around this is really important, because then we don't get in the hole with them and go, yeah, maybe there is a right way, right? Okay. We help our clients feel resourced when setbacks, challenges, and self-doubt inevitably arise. Right, so we just assume that the plan won't go to plan. That's a fundamental. And then everybody calms down a little bit, because, you know, the first time you're like, oh, actually, I didn't do that thing I said I was going to do. Well, I may as well just bin the whole thing. You're like, oh no, that's okay. That's part of the process. You are doing it. A friend of mine, Rachel Lucas, who's written 9 or 10 books now, she said she spends, and she has like ADHD, and she has a very particular writing approach that she takes. She writes fantastic, like, romance books. They're fab. Such beautiful escapism during lockdown. And I remember talking to her about this, and she was just like, that makes complete sense, because I spend so much time not writing, and I know that I'm writing, but I'm figuring out the characters, and I'm daydreaming what the story looks like and where the locations of the book are and all of that stuff. But anyone looking at me would go, well, you're not writing. Shouldn't you be writing? You're a writer. She's like, but I am. It just doesn't look like that, right? So this allows our clients to do it their way. When setbacks come up, when challenges come up, when self-doubt comes up, we normalize the heck out of that, right? So the plan includes all of these things. And what I've always found is that plans in the past don't tend to include these things. It's almost like start with where you are and then dream about where you want to get to, and then kind of beat yourself up along the way for all the ways you're not doing it right. And, you know, if one of the fundamentals of self-belief coaching is compassion, that ain't going to fly, right? And it's always inside those setbacks and challenges, and when self-doubt comes up, that's when we actually do the growing, which is the point of the goal in the first place. Yeah. I get on my high horse about this stuff. Okay, so the meta purpose of achieving any goal or realizing a dream is the expansion of the client self-concept. Notice that, right? We're coming back to this theme again and again and again. How does the client grow? If they are super excited about goals and dreams and what they want to achieve and the next rung on the ladder, we're like 100% behind you and couldn't care less about your goal. It's holding that complexity, right? Because we know that it's not about the goal that matters, right? Achieving the goal doesn't really matter. It's who do they become as part of that process. That's the bit that's exciting. That's the bit that we know is really going to make a difference for the client. So it's not where you get to, but who you become along the way that matters. That trite old saying, right? So we are advocating always for the client's growth, not their goals. And that means, I think, that we need to detach from them even achieving it in the first place, from either achieving it at the level or size or scope that they may wish, right? We don't even really know what's going to happen along the way. None of us do. So I think my own sort of personal view is that goals are nice, like no matter where you go with this. If you never set a goal, or if you set big, hairy, impossible goals because that really excites you, then the goal itself is kind of neutral. It's what's going on inside you as you get there. How do you treat yourself, right? Well, how do you talk to yourself along the way? What happens when challenges come up? How do you find resilience and courage and, you know, the spark to keep going? Self-validation, self-motivation, right? And often there is grief when a goal is achieved, because then that thing is no longer, it's done. So it's no longer in the client's life. And so then they're like, oh, it's a bit anticlimactic actually. If you coach with anyone who regularly achieves goals, there is that grief cycle that is part of goal attainment. Yeah. So the process that we are going through, we set a courage-based goal, which helps the client to then create a courage-based plan. And then, ta-da, they take courage-based action. So I just want to pause and kind of check in with you all around this. Is anyone kind of feeling a bit resistant to this process, or feeling like it's not going to work for them or their clients? Some of you are saying, oh, this is so clear to me why old approaches never work, Charlotte. And yeah, the possibility that could be achieved faster. Exactly. Like for bystander people, this can be really, really cool. Yeah. Okay, you're loving it. Well, that is very good news. What I've also found is that it kind of doesn't matter where you bring this in, because some of your clients, depending on the kind of coaching you do, the sort of flavor of the work you have, it may be that your client comes into coaching with a particular goal in mind, in which case this is a cracking first session, right? Is to actually talk about a courage-based goal and start planning for what they want to do. Right, because then as soon as you have your second session, you're probably going to come, you're going to start meeting your client's self-doubt, right? Or the reasons why they maybe didn't do the things that they were hoping to do in that time. that's all part of it. And so we can prepare people for that. We can give them something to do rather than just sit in self-criticism, right? It's like, oh, okay, so we've got this plan. The next 2 weeks are nailed down. That's awesome. And what I want you to really pay attention to is what happens with your self-doubt. Does it come up? What does it say? Can you create a container for that? Right. So you're writing down all the protective beliefs, all the voices that are coming up, all the ways that you're kind of getting in your own way a little bit with those undermining behaviors. Right. We're talking about, you know, the one of the first tools that we looked at, uncovering protective beliefs. Remember, we talk about here's your, you know, your goal that you want. And then what the actions that you would be taking and the actions you're taking instead, right? Those undermining behaviors. We're sort of coming full circle to that. So you could absolutely start a coaching relationship with this tool, with this approach. And for a lot of clients, this can feel like, finally, I've got my plan, right? I finally planned it. And then self-doubt's going to come up and they're like, oh, shit, it wasn't the plan I needed, right? I needed more than just the plan. And that's perfect, right? Because a lot of that bystander scapegoat, it's like, if I could just get organized, if I could just know what the first actions are to take, then I'll be okay, right? It's that fantasy of idealizing what you need. And actually, it's never the plan. You're exactly right, Charlotte. That's never the plan. Because, you know, we could whack down a plan on a back of a napkin, rough idea, do this, this, and this. The plan doesn't dictate whether or not you're going to do something. The self-belief does. And I think this starts to open up for, certainly for me, this is how I really started to understand that it doesn't really matter what action you take, it matters what you believe, right? Because you could take shitty action to shitty. You could take unproductive, passive action that doesn't actually achieve anything, but it feeds your belief, in which case it's the perfect action to take, right? Equally, you could be like all guns blazing and do the thing that from the outside looks like really productive action. But if you're believing, it's only a matter of time before I screw this up because I don't finish things, that will be the outcome that action actually creates. Does that land? Yeah. Iris, you got a question. I'm just going to ask you to unmute. Fire away.
Okay. I really love this because I wrote my thesis on goal setting and it was a mess to go through the research, and my conclusion in the end was, in my mind, okay, no one knows anything about how this works.
Yeah, and that's the conclusion I got to.
It's a bit crazy. But I think one thing that was definitely never addressed was anything emotional, anything about how you feel or, you know, what it might take to just not be a robot and just do things. So I really like the whole idea of courage as, I guess, the metric for choices. One thing that I'm a bit concerned with is that I know I sometimes have clients who come in very much with a strong inner critic and very much almost believing that there is a right way to do things. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why some of them hire me, is that whole idea of, oh, if you just teach me exactly how to manage my time, then I'll never have a problem ever again. And yeah. I was just wondering, when you have someone where it almost threatens their entire worldview, if you say there is no perfect plan, there is no way that we can perfectly get this done or make sure you execute perfectly forever. Do you have any ways of, I guess, do you still just talk to them about courage, or is there a different way you need to approach it?
It's such a great question, Iris. And I almost called you Ivy there because you've got Ivy on your on your spreadsheet, Iris. Because I completely understand that the security and the safety that comes from certainty Like, my goodness, how many of us have gone, if I just do this, it will all be okay. And I really understand that approach, and that it's so seductive, right? If I just do it, if I stopped feeling and just do it, started doing, everything will be fine. And if someone could just tell me the perfect way to be doing, I'm all good. So this is different in that I want a whole human to come out the other end, not a moist robot with a certificate, right? So, and I think that one of the ways I approach this, particularly for folks with an inner critic, is really just having some deep empathy for that voice. It's come from this place of, if I tell you all the ways it could go wrong, you'll find some level of safety. Yeah. And so usually when I have a client who has that really strong critic protector pattern, we'll talk about what are all the beliefs they have about this plan or this goal. Like, why haven't they achieved it yet? Like, let them kind of talk it all through. We sort of want them to come to the conclusion that maybe there is a right way for them, but there isn't like a universal right way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so depending on where the client's coming from, like for some folks, it's, well, I need to, it's kind of like the ways they criticize themselves is around their actions. So it's like, I've got to follow this kind of morning routine. I've got to do, you know, these kinds of activities in order to set myself up so I can just do the thing, right? And for other people, it's the way they show up to the goal is the thing. So we've got to, I think it's worthwhile just probing around in the client's meaning making. Where is the sort of feeling of risk coming from? You know, is it that, what if I am disappointed by doing this, by achieving this goal? What if I find I'm not actually as great at this the first time around as I wish myself to be, right? What if I, you know, I don't do it perfectly? Who will I be then? So we kind of need to play around with things like the protective beliefs, the meaning making. Rowena's suggesting, could you do a belief biography on the goal itself? Totally love that. Use these tools as creatively as you wish. The idea is that you're just trying to understand a bit more about how the client makes sense of the world, because for them there will be some coherence to it, right? If I do this, that's the way to stay safe. It might not make sense to anyone else, but for me that feels safe. So we're kind of just trying to understand, what is that safety? Where are the safety bars? And like, where are the edges of those? What would they be willing to experiment with to try out? The thing that starts to happen is that you'll get to know quite quickly what kind of protective pattern they've got, you know, where it fits in that kind of the matrix of the critic, martyr, scapegoat, and bystander. What combinations might be at play. And so then it's like, alongside them doing the plan, you can give them some experiments that are really low risk, where they get to play with creating an internal sense of safety.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. One thing that I find difficult sometimes when I have clients who have that strong inner critic and who are almost coming in like, sometimes they literally come in and go, basically, I'm going to overachieve on this coaching. I'm going to be great. And then oftentimes that doesn't happen. And so when they have a lot of perfectionism and a really strong critic, and that there's often something about believing like they won't ever be able to do the certain thing anyways, or they're not good enough. And I know that compassion is, or I often try to go in with compassion or do something around compassion. And a lot of the times it's almost like they have an allergic reaction to me being compassionate. Because I think their solution is always work harder, push yourself harder. And that's why it's sometimes like tricky to explain things like you like courage, look at your courage or look at your emotions or take care of yourself, because it's almost like sometimes they just want to yell at me to go, no, just tell me how I can do it or how I can be different. So I don't know if you have any comments on that, but the whole like not getting, when if compassion is one of the ways that would almost be like the most productive thing to do, because then you're clear and calm and you can do things, but the client just feels like, no way, this is going to make me weak and soft.
I'll lose my edge if I'm kind to myself. Yeah. Well, so, and this is the thing, we can expand our definition of compassion to include robust clarity, right? But it's not criticism. That's the kind of the hazy bit in the middle, is for a client who's very invested in beating themselves up. We can say to them, I notice that you seem to want a lot of criticism from me. You seem to want me to, you know, do this, or is that true? What's it like that I'm not going to play that game? Because I think you can do this without criticizing yourself. Right. So we can kind of call out what we are assuming is happening behind the scenes. And I love, you know, the phrase that I got from Martha Beck is, tell me where I'm wrong, right? So I'm, you know, it's like a really gentle way of saying, I'm just assuming this. So please tell me if I've got this wrong. It sounds like, or I'm picking up that you want this from me. And I want you to know I'm not going to play that game. I'm not that kind of coach. Or I believe you can do this in a way that's different. And I think this is the thing, like compassion is, it's clarity, right? It is encouragement. It's not coddling. And I think that's the mistake that we make. We and our clients, we grow up in a culture that sees anything beyond kind of bashing us into submission as coddling. And that's not what it is, right? It's very much like, oh no, you can do this. Come on. You know, how's this feeling to you? Are you hiding or are you resting? Because they look the same from the outside. Are you overworking or are you just totally in flow? Like paying attention to what's going on underneath the behavior is a way for your clients to start thinking about all of this.
Awesome. Yeah, so, that helps a lot.
Yeah, I think just the way that our clients are making meaning from their experience is so telling, right? And our clients will reveal so much about themselves without really feeling like they've said anything.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you say, well, how do you achieve goals? Like you're invested in, doing this, achieving this goal through our coaching together. How do you get things done? What's your approach? And you can ask clarifying questions. And how do you talk to yourself? How does that feel? You know, what do you think about maybe not being so mean to yourself? How does that feel? What do you worry might happen? So all we're trying to do is just both us and the client, understand more about the world of the client. And see what they're willing to experiment with. You know, one of the things that, you know, speaking to yourself compassionately kind of experiment, one of the things you can do is do it in like location specific ways. So if a client is working out, for example, and the way they speak to themselves is really critical, then it's like, okay, just for that 30 minute workout or however long it is, I want you to notice all the things that you're proud of in your body. Notice the sensations that happen. So you're just allowing them to have a window into compassion. Just notice what that's like. Think about what you could do, right? So it's a way of shifting what might be going on for them. Does that help you, Iris? Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Yeah. Fiona, I love that. Just spend 20 minutes doing nothing and reflect on how that feels. And your mind's blown. There's a philosopher, I think it's, oh, I'm going to get this wrong. I don't know who it is. But he says like that all suffering is created because man can't sit in a room on their own with no distractions, which is, you know, kind of individualistic and denies that we live in a society. But I think there is something to that, right? That actually a lot of our ways of coping with the complexity of the world can be stay distracted at all costs. And it means that you're not really in tune with your body sensations, your intuition, your feeling state. So, yeah, it's really, really helpful. Yeah, I love that, Sarah. Asking them to imagine how it might motivate someone else if they spoke to them in the same way they spoke to themselves. Yeah. And the thing about that is that, so I will always say, how do you speak to yourself? Like, give me your worst. Because I just want you to hear the words out loud. So it's just a kind of a gentle expansion of that, because I think most of us know, actually, if I spoke to anyone the way I speak to myself, you know, that person would not want to be friends with me. But I think sometimes we kind of know that and then we feel some shame around it. So actually asking your client to say, can we do something a bit brave, right? Can you talk to me, like tell me what you say to yourself? And I'll kind of type it out and then I'll read it back to them. Or I'll get them to, you know, watch me write it on a whiteboard and get them to read it back. And just see what comes up for them. It's like, all we're doing is just getting curious around what's going on for you. Like, how do you feel when you say that to yourself? What emotions come up? What do you want to do, right? So you can use that as a way into that kind of belief buster type approach. And you're just helping the client go, oh, that might be why I don't feel like doing it, right? Like that, there's a whole body of work around human motivation. And, you know, speaking compassionately to ourselves is correlated with so much good stuff. And it's like sometimes that objective fact can be really helpful, right? That actually when you speak to yourself with compassion, you're more likely to achieve the goal. So if for no reason than that, let's give it a crack, you know? But it's really hard to change something that you hate or you say you don't like, that you don't respect or value. It's really hard to kind of go through the gritty process of behavioral change when you don't really like or care about the thing you're trying to change. So all of this to say that coming at this with your clients, like coming at this work, this like goals and dreams of your clients, my one kind of guiding point here is to sort of meet the client where they are. So, and there is from memory in this module workbook, that kind of spread of goals, like how people feel about goals, or it might be in a formal one, but how people actually talk about what they want, what matters to them. Like some people are really motivated by goals and other people aren't, and neither is right. It's just about getting to what our clients actually, what matters to them. Module 7, right, cool. So one of the things that will also happen is that you'll get clients who say, I don't know what I want. Anyone come across that? Yeah. And that can be kind of tricky, right? Because there's all kinds of reasons why we opt out of, you know, having any ambitions for ourselves or any desire to change our lives. So I'm not sure. Do you guys want to just chip in? Like, how do you kind of work with clients who don't really have goals? Yeah, go for it, Fiona.
This has really shifted for me during the program, so thank you for that. But what I've started doing now is being much more just kind of playful with it and going, okay, well, some part of you wants to change something, because otherwise you wouldn't be in coaching. So let's start there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, kind of just, yeah, just be more playful with it, rather than previously I would have been completely stumped by it and just be like, okay, well, I don't know. If you don't know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that playfulness can be super fun. Like, because I think that there's something about having the container of a coaching relationship where, and often I think we need to give our clients permission. Like, you could tell me all kinds of things that you want to do and never achieve any of them. You know, for me, that's neither here nor there. I'm more interested in you giving yourself a space and permission to explore that.
I think for me, a lot of it is that they're really tied up in, like, they sort of get really tangled in, but I've got so much, I should be so grateful for everything that I've already got, and yet actually I want something different. And it's like they can't let themselves imagine anything else because they're beating themselves up about not being grateful enough for what they've already got.
Yeah.
So actually what I have them do is, right, we do an exercise where they have to tell me three things that they want or want to achieve, where two of them they've already got or have achieved.
Nice.
And one of them is something they don't have. And it can be anything, like, I want trainers that I like, I want chocolate for lunch, and I want, I don't know, a green plant on my desk or whatever. Like, it can be really minuscule things, but just to get them in the process of understanding that it's okay to appreciate what they have and want something else.
Completely. Love that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's all kinds of stuff that gets, you know, what are your goals? There's all kinds of stuff that gets caught up in that answer, right? There's the worthiness thing, you know, can I, who am I to do this? There's the privilege thing, I've already got so much, is it okay that I want more? You know, and there's the what will other people think thing, huge, often. There's the, oh, I have lots of goals, but I never seem to achieve them, and it feels like I'm missing information thing, right? And I see that in a lot of business owners, where it's like, well, I want this really amazing business, and it's got to make this much money, and I want to work with these kinds of people. But it's like, but that isn't coming to me, right? And there's, so there is like confusion and frustration, and sometimes that kind of entitlement of, I should have this because I care about it so much piece. So it's almost like a flip of the critic. Yeah. So yeah, loving that. Yeah, Charlotte, what's coming up for you?
Firstly, apologies that it looks like it's like 11 p.m. and I'm sitting in my office for some reason. I don't know why it's so dark in here. But I'm not sure if it's something that I picked up from here. It's definitely like in the last year. But what I've started doing, and I think this is because I've had to figure out how I approach goals myself, right? Because it's like a goal that isn't right now just is kind of not a thing for me. But how I've been approaching it is like playing around with, rather than setting a concrete goal, being like, wouldn't it be cool if, and I don't know if this came from this space or not, but just getting people to kind of go, actually, it would be kind of cool if this was in my life. And they tend to have like a gut reaction as to whether they really believe it's going to be a good thing or not. Yeah. And to kind of like sense check. And now I understand that's like leaning into the self-trust, right?
Yeah.
And it's that like, is it okay for me to want this? Is this like, is this the thing I really want? Or is it just something that society tells me I want?
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, often I find my clients aren't setting goals because what they really want is like so big, it feels like it's not a thing.
Yeah.
And therefore it's like, how do we get from here in this space to like that thing you really, really want?
Yeah.
And it being okay to really, really want that big thing. So yeah, it's like taking the pressure off by just being like, let's just play around with like what could be cool, and then we'll go from there. And it just seems to take the pressure off. And I don't know if it's the kind of clients that I work with that really respond to that in particular, or whether it would work for everybody, but definitely that's something I've been like, playing around with a lot more.
Love that. And I think that's the one thing that I found is really, as I've sort of tested this approach out over the years, is this concept seems to work for folks who have like a 30-day goal and have something that will take like, 3 years. Yeah. So, and I think there's something about this, I don't know, I almost work in both directions. If a client comes to me and says, well, I want to make £1 million from my business, then I'm like, sweet, let's look at why that matters to you and how we do that, right? And often they want the blueprint. How do I do this, right? So there's often like beliefs around the goal itself. Is it okay for me to have this? And then tell me exactly what I need to do, right? It's the right plan will get me there. And so part of the work, I think, around this approach is it's not really what you're doing, because there are squillions of ways to make £1 million. It's actually what you believe and what you're willing to do on a daily basis that matters. So, so the holy shit 3-year future pacing approach, I'm not sure what that is, but tell me if this resonates, Fiona, is the idea of setting a really big, hairy goal, like £1 million for my coaching business, right? I'm in a mastermind with some people who are totally in that place. And to me, that just feels like, I don't know, pipe dream. To make £1 million in a year from your coaching business. It's not my goal, right? But it's like so fascinating to witness what that looks like, because I know at least 5 coaches who have already done that, are doing, in the process of doing that. And it's the quality of the beliefs that they have that's leading them there. They're all doing it in very different ways, very different kinds of coaching practices. So I think part of our approach with our clients has to be nothing's off the table in terms of goals. What matters is what does the client believe about that goal? Because, and this is where our own entanglement can come up around this, right? Because if it's a goal that maybe we haven't achieved, or that haven't, you know, that we have some issues around, perhaps like money can be a really nice little trigger for entanglement for lots of coaches. And, you know, some of it is around processing some of the beliefs that come up around this before you start the process of creating the goal. I love that. Yeah. The holy shit, I've had the most incredible 3 years. Yeah. Cool. Really cool. So, and you'll find a similar process to that in the Meet Your Sovereign meditation, if you've done that, because that's all about like waking up in 3 years' time. Where are you waking up? What are you wearing? What are you doing? What is your day filled like? So what's a typical day in your life 3 years from now? Which is a really cool, it's a quite a cool exercise to do with clients, because there's no pressure. You could wake up in the same place, but it's like, what do you notice is different from where you are now? What's your energy different? How is your energy different? What has happened? And it taps into some kind of like subconscious desires that the clients might not be talking about or really aware of. And you're exactly right. You can't get caught up on the details. It can't be a step by step, because it's 3 years away, right? But you start to get the themes that you can then kind of chunk down into several goals. So I just want to come back to like self-doubt and goals. So what I found is that, And I love, someone said earlier, like the goal process that ignores that we have emotions, right? For me, if you've got any kind of self-doubt, it means that the goals that you set have to make room for your emotions, make room for self-doubt, allow for some brilliant ideas to come up along the way, provide supportive accountability, provide a record of progress and lessons, right? So provide, like, what was good about this? It's one of the reasons that I'm going to ask you all for feedback around this round of SBCA, right? So how was that for you? And then how can I make this better, right? And to be led by your vision and values, your intentions, right? Then it's all about self-validation rather than external validation, right? So when we're working with our clients around setting goals, we're kind of interested in all of these things, right? When, how do they feel about the goal? What, and as they start to deliver on the plan or whatever happens with the plan, how do they feel about the fact that they've got emotions and self-doubt comes up and it's a bit inconvenient? And the temptation to quit is always going to be there, and that's always going to be an option. But it's like, but who would you be if you just committed? And I think that's the thing that I've noticed from working with people who have quite big visionary goals, is that there is sort of like, well, I'm going to see this through. The result will be the result. I'm going to throw myself into it and see what happens. And this is everything from like a personal goal, like running a marathon or a half marathon, you know, creating a, a few people that I've worked with have done things like taking their art to an exhibition or done a TED talk. So it's been like leading to an event, and they've had to kind of look at all the beliefs around all of this. There's been other people that I've worked with who've, you know, had professional goals, like someone who wanted to create a agency model for her web design, copy and other kind of advertising work. And it's like, oh, okay, right. So that's actually quite a big mission-led vision. What does that look like? And then what are you doing today to contribute to that? What does that look like? So all of these goals, it's almost like the message I want you to take away from this is the goal doesn't matter, but the goal is really important to the client. Like both of these things are going to be true at the same time. To us, we're kind of detached from the goal, but it is going to matter to the client, and it kind of doesn't matter the size or the scope of the goal. It's what does the client believe about it? That's what we're trying to kind of understand, because it's going to give us a direct through line into their experience of self-doubt, like what's actually going to get in their way. So, and sometimes people will say, but what if, like, you want to take your art to an exhibition, but no one wants to show it? It's like, well, that's a problem to solve around how you, what you believe around that. It's not a reason to quit, right? So sometimes there are going to be like practical barriers that come up, but there are going to be creative solutions to that, depending on how you feel about what you believe about the goal, how you feel about the outcome, all that jazz, right? So part of this is really about, it's seeing the goals that our clients have, the dreams that they have, and helping them to kind of access their healthy adult self, right? What does that part of me want here? What matters here, right? Okay, I'm just going to check in on questions. Okay, cool. So I just want to come back to the module, the goal approach that we take. So we get the client to do, and you can do this by getting the client to fill this in before a session can be really helpful to kind of work through it. And really kind of expanding on this, like I know this is on one page, but getting them to really think about this goal and build it up as much as possible, not build it up, but kind of expand it out so you can understand more about the client's worldview, will really support both of you as you're supporting them to complete this, right? So all of this is about getting them to really pay attention to their experience of the goal. Lots of people don't want to do this because they then face the resistance that's going to stop them from doing it in the first place. Like, can I just get into action? And my approach to this is always, of course you can. Why haven't you done it already? Right? Because this is the thing, is we're encouraging our clients to sit in the discomfort of what they're feeling and thinking, why they haven't achieved the goal up until now. There'll be really good reasons for that, and we want to support them to understand that a bit more. So why now? What do they believe they'll be feeling when they get there? These are just questions to really start to think about their intention here. Why does this actually matter? And then what is their protector and their healthy self saying? What will be the same and what will be different? So this can feel a bit like straightforward. If you can get your client to really expand on this a bit more, you're going to find out a lot about what kinds of challenges they're going to experience. And that's the part to really pay attention to, is building in plans for when it all goes to pot, because it probably will at some point. So we talk about the plan. Oh, I'm just going to come back to this. Right, we talk about the plan, getting into these categories of action. The categories of tasks, taking them one at a time, achieving them, rewarding yourself, noticing the resistance, breaking them down into more doable or easy tasks. These are the questions that I think are really, really important with your client, is what will the first obstacle be? Nobody wants to talk about this when they've got a color-coded plan that they're excited about, right? So you can make, you know, and I bring humor into this kind of thing. It's like, okay, so this looks amazing. I'm in it with you. We're doing this. And what's going to go wrong first? What typically happens, right? The client's like, oh, that won't happen this time. This time it will be different, right? Or they're like, oh, yeah, that will happen. There's no point carrying on, or something in between, right? So what we're doing by addressing this is a couple of things. We're acknowledging that the client never has to do this perfectly or in a right way. Like, we're saying, well, this is just going to happen. So let's plan for it to support you, to help you do the thing you want to do. And let's plan for it now before you're in that kind of emotional flux, so that you're supporting yourself with a pretty regulated nervous system. Not when it's all, you know, when you've got lots of beliefs going on. You've got lots of different, you know, conflicting emotions happening, and it feels a little bit like you're in the tornado. So what will you do when this happens? My suggestion to everyone is to actually come up with a goal for yourself that you can do in around 30 days and test this out for yourself. Like, actually go through this process so that you can, when you are leading your clients through it, you're doing this in a way that is really, really supportive. You're doing it because you're speaking from it. Does everyone have something that they are trying, that they think, oh yeah, I could come up with a goal for my business or my personal life or something that I want to achieve? It could be anything. Does everyone have something? Because we could do that. We could actually do that now. Just something, just kind of state it for a kind of accountability purpose. Let's do a little reflection on this just in the last 20 minutes, just so you've got a sense of how to take this forward. So just name a goal that you have for yourself, something that you can do in around about 30 days. Could be in your business, could be in your personal life. Might be something like, oh, I want to get that welcome sequence nailed, right, for your website or something. Something that takes around 30 days. I want to start posting regularly. I want to get my bookkeeping sorted out. Whatever it is. Could be something in your personal life. Notice the difference between habits and goals. Habits are kind of things we do regularly that lead to a goal. So if you find yourself writing down a habit, what is the goal? I'm going to come back to your comment, Charlotte. You're absolutely right. Everyone got something? You want to share it in the chat if you wish? Nice, Fiona, good work. Write my new sales page, invoice for 8K. These are great goals to have, by the way. Really cool. Nice and kind of 30-day goals. Totally, you just own the shit out of that, Fiona. Yeah, we're all standing here going, yeah, bring it in. A four-week workout program to feel my best ever. Charlotte, that's beautiful. I love that you're doing that to support yourself after surgery. Yep, ace. More visibility on social media. Love it, Rowena. Yay. These are great. Okay, so you've got your goals. Write down, why does this matter to me? Just why does it matter? Sarah, I love that. A signature workshop to pitch to clients, business clients. Perfect. Such a great thing to do. I love that because you're basically getting them to pay you to market to them. So smart. Yeah, really cool. Okay, so you've got a goal, something you can do in around 30 days, something that you know matters to you, and you've got why it matters to you. What does your protector say about this goal? Just invite your protector in, that part of you that's doubting you. Might have quite a lot to say, it might have a couple of things to say. Just let it have some space. Thank it for its concern and what it's wanting to do to support you and to protect you. Beautiful, Charlotte. Yeah, you never finish workout programs. You always get bored and give up. The reason I think this is really helpful, you're just reminding me of this, Charlotte, is it can all, this information, like what your protector has to say, can also give you and your client a lot of insight into those obstacles, right, that we want to address. Totally applicable in everything. Yeah. Martha Beck says that how we do one thing is how we do everything, which I'm not sure I quite buy, but I think you can absolutely see patterns when it comes to things like self-doubt. You start to see how our protectors show up in all the ways. Okay, and then write down, what does your healthy adult self have to say about this goal? This part of you that believes in your vision. It has access to all your trust, all your acceptance, all your worthiness. What does that healthy adult self have to say? This is also going to give you some really good insight into beliefs to believe on the way to your goal, right? Yeah, love that you're sharing all of this. Charlotte is so generous. This is actually pretty simple. All you have to do is follow the steps someone set out. You know you'll feel great after each session. If it's that boring, you can choose to switch to another program. Yep, absolutely. So now you've got your goal, you've got why it matters, and you've got the voice of your protector and the voice of your healthy self. So you kind of have a sense of what's going on for you around this goal, yeah? So next, I just want you to write down like maybe half a dozen, 10 actions that you'll need to take to reach the goal. So just half a dozen or 10 actions, no more than that. What will you need to do to reach the goal? Write down the really basic things, the numpty things that you think, oh, I don't even need to write that down. That's such an easy step, Sass. Come on. Put it down. Anyone with a nice, strong inner critic is going to have lots to say about writing down the easy steps. Write down the things that you don't want to do, but you know you need to. Everyone got half a dozen actions? Yeah, you can always add to it later. And then I want you to also write down like some obstacles that you might face. What typically happens if you have done this goal before? What do you imagine might happen? An obstacle could be time related, could be belief related or doubt related. What's going to happen to kind of set you off course? Charlotte, that's perfect. Yeah. So the obstacles you come up are, I don't want to, I can't be bothered, I don't feel like it. Yeah, perfect. So they're all kind of belief related stuff, right? Like it depends on the mood of the day. So as you start to get a couple of obstacles down on paper, just think about, well, what can I do to support myself in those moments? And what I specifically want you to think about is how do you creatively, courageously, curiously look at those obstacles? So, Charlotte, I just want to use yours as an example because it's super tangible and really ace. I would be, if I was coaching you, I'd be saying things like, okay, what if you had a really fun soundtrack that you could put on to get you in the mood, right? Think about what helps you to get in that upbeat feeling. Oh, a sticker chart. I love a sticker chart, Fiona. Yeah, I'm totally a fan of that. Looking at mine right now, feeling all kinds of pride at my little brilliant stickers. Yeah, sticker charts are great for like 30-day goals where you're doing habitual things. So Charlotte, that could be a really fun thing to do. It's weirdly motivating. It's like the best fun. Yeah. Becomes part of your workout routine, Charlotte, as soon as you do it. Yeah, really fun. Great. Also, Rowena, I'm thinking about posting on social media for 30 days. Sticker chart is ace to do that. Little reward. Really fun.
So obviously my brain has now gone, oh yes, well I will obviously need to go shopping to buy the perfect stickers. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so seductive, right? One of the things we did when we were saving for a house is we had a child's height chart in our spare room, like a big giraffe. And we were tracking our savings on the height chart. It was ridiculous and so much fun. Yeah, that kind of thing, it can be really cool for like money goals and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, and so Charlotte, how will you remember how great you'll feel? What? Because this is why I'm thinking about music or some other stimulus that will help you to tap into that great feeling. Save more than I'm tall. Love it. Yeah. Yep. Perfect. Post-its on my walls. Yep. Yep. Sticker chart next to the kids reading and piano practice ones. Totally. Everyone gets a sticker chart in Rowena's house. Bloody brilliant. Yeah. So who's feeling a bit stuck with their obstacle? Anyone want some help to creatively work through that? You're all feeling like you've got a... Yeah, Iris, beautiful.
So mine, like most of the obstacles I wrote down were just about basically things I'd say to myself, so the protector. So in a way, I'm finding it hard to say, oh, just do this and you won't be terrified. So yeah, I'm not really sure how to, right now for my sales page, the self-doubt is like that amorphous cloud of woe where you're just like, oh, it's hard. And yeah, I've got all sorts of emotions coming up around it.
Yeah.
And then I've written things like, oh, you can, you know, just schedule like 25-minute co-working sessions so you can just slowly work on it, or you can write first thing and, you know, just put out everything you need so that you can quickly do that in the morning. And I know that those are all smart ideas, but I don't fully trust myself to even care in the moment and not just go, you know what, bye, we're doing something else right now.
Yeah, beautiful. So there are parts to a sales page, right? There are parts to it. So there's like the the headline, and then there's more of the, you know, helping the client understand that you or to feel seen, like that you know where they're at before they would reach you. There's like the details piece around, you know, this is what you're getting. There's the FAQs and that kind of stuff, right? So I'm wondering if actually one of the things to do is to break this down into sort of like the 10 components of a sales page. And right, rather than tackling the whole damn thing at once, right? And actually, you know, when you're plotting your tasks on your tree rings, right, the easy, doable, risky, don't know what the freaking hell I'm doing here, rings, can't remember the last one, that you start to break it up. So it's like, oh, the FAQs, that's easy. I kind of know what that looks like. I can copy and paste it from another page and then just finesse it. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're actually starting to break it down. So you've got maybe 60% of your sales page written, and it's like, oh, the bits that I'm finding tricky are these pieces here. What's the, you know, like, and then the obstacle isn't the whole thing. How does that land for you?
That lands really well, because in my mind it really just is write sales page, and I'm even struggling to think about what that means, even though I've written sales pages before. It's almost like I just forget what you need to do. And I think having a list of smaller bits, if that makes it easier, that there's going to be one where I go, oh yeah, that one, I can write that one, or that's interesting today, or that's not terrifying. So
exactly, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
And notice, right, that kind of approach of it's too hard and too big, we go into scapegoat and we kind of go, I'm out, right? It's too hard. So the way through this to the scapegoat is to, you know, start making decisions and keeping promises, right? So part of this, I think, is giving yourself the experience of completion I've done one thing today. I feel really good about that. So going through and looking at those 10 parts or whatever it might be to a sales page, and then it's like, over the first 10 days, I'm just seeing what I can already do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense about the promises. And when it's the big thing that's just fully scary to write the sales page, then it's very easy to not make any promises because it feels like, well, I'm not going to keep it. Yeah. But a promise to even sit down for 5 minutes and just look at my old sales page or something, that is a different thing that feels still scary actually, but more doable.
Yeah, great. I'm so glad. And this is the thing, this is such a great example for everyone, because what you'll find is that the obstacles are you, or any kind of resistance, is usually because the task is too big. Right? So breaking it down in whatever way you can is the best way to do it. So sometimes we break it down by parts, like how we've done with Iris. Sometimes it's by time, right? So it's like, okay, today I'll do this little bit, tomorrow I'll do that. Yeah. And even things like when you get to the really scary bits. So I'm just even thinking about Sarah, this may or may not be a scary thing for you, but I'm just thinking about your goal, which is your pitching your workshop to businesses. You might find that you get to that kind of unknowable, risky part when it's like doing the pitch. That for some people, that might feel like the most scary bit. So it's things like, okay, let's break that down. Rather than it being a task, pitch to business, right? It's writing a script, researching the business, Googling 10 businesses I could pitch this to. That can be one task, right? So you're starting with the really freaking easy stuff that feels really doable, because I bet you're like, oh, I can totally Google 10 businesses I could pitch to. So then you get that experience of completion. And then it's like, okay, so 10 more tasks is to spend 15 minutes researching that business and writing something that will fit with them, you know, all of that jazz, right? So breaking it down into small tasks that are doable, it gives you so many benefits. It's the feeling of completion, it's the feeling of momentum, it's the, oh, this is, I'm doing it, I'm having the experience of doing it, I am taking this forward, this is only a matter of time, rather than, oh, I still haven't done that thing that's really big and scary. Yeah. Charlotte, I love this example, and I think it is ADHD related, but I think it is so effective for humans, right? Posting a card is a project. You find the card, you find the pen, you write the card, you look up the address, you find the stamp, stick the stamp on, take it to the post box, put the card in the post box. That's exactly what I mean by breaking it down. And the thing is, like, for some clients who have that critic, it's like, oh my God, this is so fucking mental and small and it doesn't even count. And oh, why are you making me do these things? All of that is totally fine, because it's like, sweet, then, you know, this will be something you can do easy peasy. Just break it down into a place where it feels doable. Doable and easy. That's where we want it to get to. Because when it is doable and easy, that's where you start to interrupt that self-doubt, right? Oh, this is doable, this is easy, we're safe, I could do this, right? And then the barriers that come up or the thoughts that come up will be usually related to something else. It's not going to be self-doubt. It's, oh, do I even really want to do this anymore? And then we start to interrogate that. Rowena, did you have your hand up?
I certainly did. So a bit of a weird one, possibly TMI, but anyway, I find that, seeing as we're talking about 30 days or etc., that my kind of productivity and just willingness to engage with the world is kind of predicated on my cycle quite often. Yeah. And so, like, there'll be a week or so where I'm like, yeah, let's get out there and be creative, buzzing, you know, backflips down the road kind of thing. And then other times where I'm like, you know, what is something you said the other day, which really made me laugh, was that kind of whole Jesus take the wheel thing.
Yes.
I'm not part, you know, can't do. And it's kind of managing that.
Yeah.
You know, so setting goals for yourself within the kind of super creative bit, thinking, yeah, this is me now. And then hang on a minute, 2 weeks later, completely different person is at the wheel. Did that make sense? And do you have any advice?
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, mm-hmm. what happens when you go into, when you're in that more kind of, retreat phase of your cycle where you're not actually wanting to be out there, because I'm thinking about your goal of being more visible on social media. So when you think about that retreat phase,
yeah,
and this goal, mm-hmm. what's the beliefs that come up?
Great question. I think things feel less bright or less kind of like, what's the point, you know, why, yeah. You know, more like that kind of thing. And is this even interesting anyway? And right. You know, if you're going to have these kind of peaks and troughs, that's not a consistently showing up, right. So
right.
Forget it. Yeah. And beautiful. Then back under the duvet.
Nice. Doesn't that make total sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just thinking about, like, that belief. Okay, well, what's the point? Because I don't feel like I could be consistent. I'm starting to question everything.
Mm.
So I'm going to probably quit on my goal as soon as I reach that time in my cycle, is what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I just feel less engaged with it. Less wholeheartedly behind it.
And has this been the story for a while?
100%, yeah.
Okay, cool. Perfect. So we have got this lovely, juicy problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And can you see that actually, if you could find a way that supports your cycle to achieve this goal, what would that do for you? Like, what would that change?
I think it would make me feel more like I'm in the driving seat, as opposed to kind of, you know, just, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of having these kind of changes done to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like this thing happens in my body that I'm not in control of, and it impacts everything. And there's nothing for me to do other than duvet it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so when you're in that more outwardly facing phase of your cycle where everything does feel totally doable and you're willing to be out in the streets shouting your message, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about your goal then?
Yeah, baby, let's do this.
Right.
Absolutely cool. On fire.
Cool. Mm. So I love that so much. So actually, this isn't a belief problem. Right? This is a business problem. This is a, how do we set you up so you can be consistently visible even on the days where you're not feeling it?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest you do is that you get really clear about the dates that are your creation dates.
Yeah.
And that's when you come up with the ideas. Right? Yep. So you actually batch your creation process. Right, you come up with, maybe you come up with a few, one of the ways I do my social media is I've got a few themes that I play with. Some are educate-y, some are salesy, some are just life-sharey bits, you know, whatever the themes are, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just kind of do mind maps or brainstorm, however it feels good to you, to what those posts are going to be about. And it's like you're in the process of coming up with those ideas during that phase where they're coming to you, right? And then what you may want to use your retreaty time for is the actual, like, putting it together in the background. Don't have to speak to a damn person, right? But do it. So for this next 30 days, it's almost like you want to get a nice little stack of, you know, social media posts ready to go. And then your next 30-day project is to repeat that process while you're posting them regularly. So you can decide, what is my posting cycle?
Mm.
Right? Could be like two a week, something like that. Two posts in a story, whatever the feeling is, like, right?
Once every 28 days, is that right?
Yeah.
<Just kidding. laughs> Yeah.
Well, I would say come up with something that feels like, oh, I could do that just to start with, right? Because it's more important, I think, at the moment for you to feel like you're working out, how can I make my cycle feel like it's not in the driver's seat? I'm actually working with it, right? So you're doing the work that brings you alive in the times that you're most energetic, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And then you're kind of spending that 30 days almost like getting yourself set up. So for the next couple of months, over those winter months, you can just experiment, putting your messages out there and seeing you know, seeing what the cycle, the posting cycle feels like to you while you're dealing with your own internal cycle.
Yep.
How does that feel?
Yeah, very, very sensible. Yeah. And completely doable.
Nice. So that's the thing, is to just kind of like put this plan together now so that you can play with it, experiment, and you start to find a way to bring this to life. So it's no longer a plan, it's sort of the plan becomes operational, right? That's sort of, we're just using the plan to get you into this new habit, this new cycle.
Yeah. I see that. Thank you.
Yeah. Amazing. So good. Yeah, I love that, Sharon. Days when you feel yuck and tracking them down. Yeah, apps are great for this. Using a calendar is so great for this. I think as women, it's just sensible. If you know, if you're impacted by your cycle in any way, it's like, get your business to work for you. That's the best thing you can do. Yeah. I love this, Sharon. It's so supportive of you. It's really, really cool. And knowledge is totally power when it comes to this. Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. So how are you all feeling about just taking this forward? Knowing that you are thinking about what can go wrong as part of the planning process. Yeah. So next week we'll do a bit of a check-in, but do use the discussion forum so you can start to track how this is going. Get your practice pods up and available to support you. Let's share your goals with them so that you're starting to use those folks to support you as you bring this to life. We can keep checking in on calls around your plans for the last few weeks of the program. Use the discussion forum, use your practice pods, check in, let it happen. And the process here is very much like the experimentation process, where you're paying attention to what it feels like to you. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? How are you able to, you know, interrupt your protector with your healthy self? All of that good stuff. Yeah. Amazing. Nice. And Charlotte, you mentioned earlier about something around doing this with folks.
Yeah, it's a single session.
Sorry.
Or a session.
Yes. I've done this all the time, like I've done velocity sessions where we've put together, I've got them to create the goal beforehand. We spend a bit of time looking at the goal and then mostly planning, obstacle planning, and then the 6-week catch up and the support in between is to help them bring that to life.
Yeah,
really, really ideal.
By not like going into the protector so heavily. Like almost taking that out, if you get them to do pre-work and then introducing the idea, then like opens up. Because this stuff is almost like people don't realize they need it until they've had a session and they're like, whoa, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I get someone into my world in a way that like they think they want to be and then show them how like different all this stuff is. And this feels like a really fun way of playing around with it.
Absolutely. And you know, you just flex to meet your client. So, you know, rather than talk about the protector, you just talk about self-doubt versus self-belief. You know, you can just make this really accessible for folks. I think this is a really great one-off session. I've had lots of clients go, oh, I do have self-doubt, shit, as a result of like a one-off session, right? So it's, yeah, totally fun. And it's exactly what you say, Charlotte. It's like we sell them what they want and then we give them what they need and then they realize that they actually, you know, the value of this kind of coaching support is so helpful. It's going to help them do it faster with more compassion and they're going to actually achieve the goal. Amazing. Yay. Okay. I want to hear all about your goals as they come to life. So, so fun. And yeah, epic. So fun to plan with you guys. Yeah, really cool. All right, my loves, I will see you next week for the kind of roundup session, and we'll take it from there. Okay. Take care, loves. See you. Bye-bye.